Let me bid you welcome again and express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. So we welcome those back who have been on vacation or just away. We see some that are recovering from illnesses, so we're glad to see you out and about. And just in the regular army that's here. So we just appreciate your attendance very, very much. When Jesse Aaron visits with us from Texas, I always ask him if he has an outline with him, and he's collected my outlines over the years, so he said yes. So if you come back tonight, you might hear something that's 10 or 12 years old. I'm just kidding with you. But I appreciate him very, very much. He's always ready, along with his son Jonathan, when they visit. And I have an outline. I have something to say. This morning, I hope you received an outline when you came in. If you'd like to follow along, they're on the in the foyer on the table. The lesson comes from the text that was read to us this morning. We're going to talk about brotherly love. Brotherly love, how to get along with each other. There's just a formula or a step-by-step plan that God gives us in that letter to the Romans. So let's look at that. But by way of introduction, I want to list something else first. Because when Paul writes about our friendship and our fellowship and the relationship that we have with one another, there's one other illustration that he gives, not just family relationship that we'll look at this morning, but he talks about our relationship to one another is likened to the physical body and the different parts and how it works together and how it gets along. So Paul, in 1 Corinthians, I just kind of listed this in your introduction, but Paul uses the illustration of the physical body. And he mentions that we're many members, but oh, we're one body. He said in verse 14, these are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the body's not one member, but many. So you look around, you see, that's right. When we showed up this morning, there wasn't just one person. There's many, many people of all of us. So you look around and you see we're different. But there's many of us, that's right. But we're members of one body. And that's what he says in verse 20. You know, many members, but one body. That's right. Physically, you look at your body and you have a lot of body parts. All kinds of body parts. But yet it's just in one body. And Paul said, that's the way our fellowship should be spiritually. Yeah, we have our differences. We don't all look alike. We don't all function alike. We have different talents. We have different opportunities. But yet we are to function together. There's many things I can't do what that person does, or I can't do what that one does, but I can do what I can do. So that's the illustration that Paul uses in our relationship to one another. He mentions in verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Can't say that to each other. So just as in our physical body, you know, I need all of my body parts. You know, but the finger can't say to or the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. I'm not gonna walk on my hands. I'm gonna walk on my feet. My feet, they do what they're supposed to do. My hands do what they're supposed to do. They hold my bowl of ice cream. That's their function. That's what those hands do. Those fingers, they get the chips out of the bag. So everything in body parts has a function and it performs accordingly. So Paul uses that. That's the way we are to function in the congregation. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, that there should be no division. Let's work together, just as the body does. Work together. But in our lesson today, we're going to take the text that Paul uses a different illustration to illustrate how we are to behave ourselves as a congregation of God's people. So he mentioned in the text, particularly in verse 10, be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honor, give preference to one another. So let's take this, I put in your notes, it's kind of a word study. Let's look at each word. I think each word has significance. It has some importance. And it gives the application. We need to know what this looks like. So in our relationship to one another is to be brotherly. Be brotherly. It's a family term, isn't it? We're brothers. Means we come from the same womb. We're family. When we're physically born, we were born into a family. When we're spiritual, when we became Christians, we were born again, but this time we're born into God's family. Paul said in Galatians 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. God sent his Son for our redemption, but then he gives an added blessing, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Oh. So just as we're born into a physical family, we are born again into a spiritual family. And now we become sons of God, God's family. Because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, wherein we cry, Abba, Father, Father, Father. You see, when we've been born again into God's family, there's a special relationship. We don't just say our God in heaven, but now we can say Father. Yeah. Father in heaven. We're family. We're family. So he says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly. 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 There's a song in our book. It's titled God's Family. But just the words. It's hymn number 744 in your book. But the hymn writer captured this thought. He said, we're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us, made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. Second, when a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory, through his precious name. The third one. And though some go before us, we've experienced that. Yeah, though some go before us, we'll all meet again. Just inside the city, as we enter in. There'll be no more parting. With Jesus we'll be together forever, God's family. And then the chorus to illustrate this point, brotherly, brotherly. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. So we think about our relationship with one another or as a congregation of God's people. One of the first definitions or word study that we see in our relationship is that we're brotherly. Brotherly. Then Paul adds a word to that, brotherly love. Brotherly love. Describes a family love. When there's a good illustration, when you think about a family that's good at love in that family, it means it's there's an excellent love in that family, or they're caring. When you think about love, one definition I always put down is love is that which seeks the best for another. Now we're brotherly family. Now we put that word love after it. We want to seek the best for one another. You want to seek the best for those in the family. That's the expectation. It's a show and tell. I don't want to just tell you or put it in words only, I love you. I want to demonstrate that. I want to show and tell. It's brotherly love that we have. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. So when you're doing those things that are right and doing those things that are good in the family, keep doing it. That's what he's saying. Let that brotherly love go on and on. Peter said in 1 Peter 3, verse 8, Said, finally, all of you be of one mind. That's the brotherly love. That's the admonition, the exhortation. Be of one mind. Have compassion on one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. So now we know, all right, yeah, I know how we are to function as a body, all different, but we work together, one body. But now family. We're brothers. Now show love as brothers. Show love. Love. The next word that he put is to be kindly. Be kindly affectionate, but kindly. If you're kind, you're going to do those things that benefit another. If I'm going to be kind to you, I'm going to avoid those things that hurt. I want to be kind. I want to be helpful. I want to be considerate, charitable. I want to be willing to help. I want to be gracious. If I'm going to be kind, by definition, the word kind involves a tenderness, benevolent, compassionate. You know what kindness is. But I give these definitions to kind of remind us. This is what my kindness should look like. I want to be brotherly, certainly. I can't help that. We're in the same family. I want to have brotherly love. And then that go along, be kind. Be kind to one another. Ephesians 4, verse 32 is the phrase, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's what family should look like. That's what God's family should look like. Many times it doesn't look like that in the physical family, but let's make it look like that in the spiritual family. He said, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. He gives the illustration, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. God's forgiven us of a lot of things. And he's forgiven us over and over again. I don't stumble just once in my lifetime. I don't fall down just once. I don't have a shortcoming just once in my lifetime. It's over and over again. Now he takes that illustration, God, you keep forgiving me for all those times I've stumbled. He said, now I want you to do that in the congregation. I want you to forgive one another as they stumble over and over again. Kindness. Kindness. Next one's affectionate. Means to be devoted to. There's a devotion involved. Dedication. A desire to help. A want to do these things that are described here in the text. I want to be a brother. I want to love as a brother. I want to be kind. Now I want to be affectionate. I want to be devoted. I want to put my heart in this. There's a couple other songs even in our book. I'll just read the words again. I just photocopied them. But number 709, the song is titled How Sweet, How Heavenly. 709, and that's the opening phrase. But you have to stop and reflect on that. The song, the hymn writer, how sweet, how heavenly is the sight. Now the rest of the song describes the sight. It's sweet, it's heavenly, is this sight. All right, what does this sight look like? The hymn writer said, when those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight, and so fulfill the word. Second stanza completes it again. How sweet, how heavenly is the sight. When each can feel his brother's sigh. When with him bear a part, they bear a part of that. When sorrow flows from eye to eye and joy from heart to heart. And again, the hymn writer keeps building on that with that opening phrase. How sweet and how heavenly is this sight. When free from envy and scorn and pride, our wishes all above, each can his brother's failings hide and show a brother's love. Oh, how sweet, how heavenly is this sight. Fourth stanza, how sweet, how heavenly. When love in one delightful stream through every bosom flows, when union sweet and dear esteem in every action glows, how sweet, how heavenly is that sight. The fourth stanza, the author continues piling on what this heavenly and sweet sight looks like. In the fifth stanza, love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above. And he's an heir of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love. Now, we have another song in our book. Blessed be the tie that binds. Blessed. All right. What's the tie that binds? Where's the blessing? The hymn writer points it out. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. There's the blessing. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Second stanza. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, and our aims are one. And our comforts and our cares. Remember, we think alike. Third stanza, we share our mutual woes. Brotherly love. We share mutual woes. Our mutual burdens we bear. And often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. Yeah. Oh, how sweet, how heavenly. The last stanza. And when we asunder part, yeah, that happens too, doesn't it? When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. But then there's a word of hope. But we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. We're brothers. We love as brothers. We're kind. And we're affectionate devotion in the family, God's family. Number five, it's in honor. In honor, meaning we value one another. If you honor one another, you hold them in high regard. If you honor one another, you give each other an accolade. It's an attaboy or an attagirl. You give them praise, well done. We honor one another. Was in the text. If someone rejoices, we rejoice with them. We don't hold a grudge. We don't become envious. No, we rejoice. We honor. Honor. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26 says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. That's right. We're in this together, aren't we? We're family. He says, if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Romans 13, verse 7, the next chapter of our text, Paul continues the thought. Render therefore to all their due. Honor to whom honor. We need to honor each other. It's the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, you do it to others. Right. You do it to others. To others. The last one is in honor, preferring one another. And you have the other go first. You prefer the other. Oh, in honor. It means we share. And if we're going to prefer one another, in honor, preferring one another means, here, oh, let you go first. Let me, if you in honor prefer one another, it means let me get that for you. If it's in honor you prefer one another, you're asking, what do you need? How can I help you? Yeah. In honor. hold the other in high regard. Prefer them. Let them go first. I put in your notes an illustration. The question was asked of a musician. What's the most difficult instrument in the orchestra to play? I've used this illustration years ago. What's the most difficult instrument in the orchestra to play? Yeah, there's a lot of difficult instruments. But the musician replied, second fiddle. The most difficult instrument in the orchestra to play is second fiddle. You see why? Because the job of playing second fiddle is to help others look good and sound good. You're second fiddle. The other one takes the lead. Oh, it's difficult to play second fiddle. Second fiddle part doesn't compete with the first violin. The person playing second fiddle doesn't distract from the person playing first violin. The person playing second fiddle is to complement the one playing first violin. And he's to be in harmony with the one playing first violin. If a good second fiddle is excited and personally satisfied when the one he's accompanied is honored because the first violin has performed a task well done and you're playing second fiddle. I know what second fiddle looks like. I played the violin from third grade to 12th grade. I was in the orchestra in junior high and high school. Harry Woodstra sat in first chair. He was the first violin. Harry Woodstra. He was first violin for 6 years of my life. I was second chair. I was second fiddle. We would go to competitions as band and orchestras, and then the band director would say, Harry plays the first part. We'd play a duet, and I played second fiddle to Harry. The band director or the orchestra director would say, you can always challenge the person in first chair to see if they would, you know, to move up. I would challenge Harry every once in a while, and he would always win. I was always second fiddle. I'm over it now. I'm past that. But if we ever have a class reunion and Harry's there, I have two violins in my car. I'm going to take Harry up to the alley and say, sit down, Harry. We're going to challenge each other on the violin. I'm going to move to first chair. But I never did. Never sat in first chair in the orchestra. Harry Woodstra. You see, the most difficult instrument to play in the orchestra is second fiddle. Sometimes it's that way in the congregation. The most difficult part to play in the congregation is one chair over. Second. What was the text? Be kindly, I'm over it. Harry Woodstra. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Yeah, Harry. In honor, giving preference to one another. We were best friends, but he was always first chair. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not for his own interests, but for the interests of others. And that's the lesson. Let brotherly love continue. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. If you want to be part of God's family, you you have that opportunity if you're not already part of God's family. What was your number?
324. 324.
324. So we're seeing that in just a moment. But the simple plan to become part of God's family, to being born again, is simply you need to hear the word of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? So you have to hear. Have to hear. Jesus said, come learn of me in Matthew 11, verse 33. Learn of me. And then you need, the second, after you heard the word of God, you'll need to believe it. Jesus said it in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I want to believe the message that I hear. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I need to have faith. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. I want to believe. I want to believe the message, the good news of salvation. Then number three, in Jesus' words, in Luke chapter 3, chapter 3? You know that. Luke chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Well, it's not Luke 3. Brother Rose, where did Jesus say that, except you repent?
Yeah, Luke 13.
13, not 3. 13. I knew there was a 3 in there. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. I knew Brother Rose would know. You need to study. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll all like men and perish. So you see the progression. Y'all want to hear the word of God, then I want to believe it, and then it should turn my life around. That's the power of God's word. Yeah. And then I want to confess my faith. Confess my faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then I want to be baptized for remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. When they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do about our sins? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Don't leave anybody out. For it by the heavenly authority in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or perverse generation. There's a response that's required. Save yourselves. Save yourselves. Respond. Those that gladly received his word were baptized in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. They were baptized. And then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Back in verse 41, those who gladly received his word and were baptized. Let's stand together. We'll sing a song of encouragement. We use the phrase a song of exhortation, song of invitation. If you're subject to that, you've not been baptized for remission of sins, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply let it be known at the close of this song.